This morning's reading is from Psalm 67, and it's page 581 if you're following along in the Pew Bible. So it's Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all of the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. Okay, I'll now hand over to Jen. Sorry, and Richard.
Great, thank you. This message is going to be in two parts. The beginning is me, and then I'll hand over to Jen, so you'll get some. Both of us sharing something about Mali one hand and Congo and Cameroon on the other. It is good to be with you this morning. Great to have the opportunity to be here in Burwell for the first time. Both of us, as you mentioned earlier, work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And we have come with some literature from Wycliffe, some of our latest magazines. So do feel free to pick one up if you'd like to find out more about what's happening in the world of Bible translation in the world today. So much information, isn't there? So much information we have at our fingertips today that we didn't used to have in the world. So if I want to find out about any different country in the world, I can go onto the internet, Google it, and find out as much information as I want to find out about any different country. Do you know in the old days, on the TV, you used to have to wait until the TV bulletin was on before you heard what the news was. Now, in the multi-channel world, you can immediately go for news whenever you want. So we're in a world where there's so much information, more than we possibly can cope with, about the nations of the world. But does that mean that we spend more time than ever before thinking about the world and praying for the world and finding out about the world? Not necessarily. Because at the same time as our culture giving us more access to information about the world, we're also being pushed in another direction, aren't we? We're being pushed to become more self-obsessed than ever before. Where my satisfaction, my self-esteem, the way others see me, my personal goals, my comfortable retirement are pushed to the forefront. And that's the challenge we have as Christians today. We know we must be thinking about the nations of the world, and yet at the same time, we find ourselves bombarded with messages which tell us to focus on me first of all. Well, what does God's word say about it? In Psalm 67, we have a message to orient our lives with regard to ourselves and also with regard to the world. And so, Psalm 67 is where we're going to be looking at the next few minutes. Psalm 67, this psalm which speaks of both ourselves and also of the nations of the world. It's a psalm that begins with a prayer for ourselves, if you notice, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. a prayer for God's people to pray. Lord, please bless us, Lord. Please make your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. And so the Bible is saying that it is okay to pray for ourselves. That's all right. Because we need it, don't we? We need God's blessing on our lives. You know, we need God's grace in our lives. We want God to look on us with his grace and mercy. With our worries of each day, our family issues, the challenges we have in work and school. We need God's grace. And we want to pray for ourselves. This verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, comes from the prayer that the Lord gave to Aaron to bless the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So do you need to hear those words of that blessing this morning on your life? We start with a prayer for ourselves. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. The God of grace who wants to shower his extravagant grace on us, who does not treat us as our sins deserve, but showers us with his love and compassion and assurance and protection. So we start with a prayer for ourselves, but we don't stop there. We do not stop at ourselves, but we look out to peoples everywhere. Verses 2 and 3. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Do you notice there's no full stop at the end of verse 1? It's not, may God be gracious to us and that's it. It's not, may God bless us and finish the psalm there. It's not, may his face shine upon us and that's the most important thing. Now, in our English translations, quite rightly, at the end of verse 1 there's a comma, and then in the beginning of verse 2 we have that, or so that. In other words, God's word is saying there's a reason for asking God to bless us. There's a so that in it. There's a purpose. What is it? May God bless us and be gracious to us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And so why do we ask for God to bless us? Well, because there's this purpose, the overarching purpose that God has for the world that goes beyond us. Our prayer is that God's salvation will be known by all nations and all peoples. A world-shaking, world-transforming prayer. An inspiring vision that takes us beyond ourselves. Which says, Lord, please bless us. And Lord, through us, your salvation will be heard by others in nations far and near. Those who do not yet know of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not know of his cross, those who don't know of his resurrection. And so we do not look for God to just bless us, but that God's blessing for us will be overflowing to the nations. As the Lord called Abraham to be a blessing to the nations, as the Lord Jesus called his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, as the Lord calls us to have a nation's perspective to our Christian life. Too many, hundreds of millions of boys and girls, men and women, who have not yet heard of Jesus. When it comes to Bible translation, there are in the world approximately 7,000 languages. But how is it when it comes to those languages of the world hearing the good news of God? There are 554 whole Bibles. 554 languages have the whole Bible. 1,333 languages have a whole New Testament, but not the whole Bible. And another 1,045 languages have portions of the Scriptures, but not the whole New Testament, not the whole Bible. In other words, 2,932 languages out of the 7,000 have something of Scripture, and yet the others do not yet. May God bless us, but the blessing that will then outflow to the nations. So we do not focus on ourselves, but we focus on God. And you notice in the rest of the psalm, there's a prayer for the nations to do what? That all peoples will know God, that all peoples will praise Him, that all peoples would be glad in Him, and that all peoples would fear Him. Lord, bless me, but enable me to be a blessing to those in my neighbourhood and those in the nations who do not yet know You, so that they too can be worshipping as we've been doing this morning and telling of His greatness, the good news of the gospel. I'm going to hand over to Jen to tell us how that is happening in Central Africa.
Okay, so we read in this psalm, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations." And I want to tell you the story of two men. They're called Pastor Novatan and Pastor Pius. And they are two men who God has blessed and who are making His ways and His salvation known among their own people. So these guys live in Cameroon, in the English-speaking part of Cameroon, in Central Africa. And they both, at one point, were fishermen. So both these young men came from families who had enough resources to send them to the city to go to secondary school, which at that time was relatively unusual in their village. And they finished secondary school and didn't get a job, so they came back to the village, and like most of the young men in their village, they became fishermen. But in their 20s, they were friends, the two of them, and in their 20s, first Pastor Pius and then Pastor Novatan heard the gospel and were converted and started to follow Jesus. And because they were educated and they could read and write in English, and the Bible at that time was only available in English to that people, they quickly were given leadership positions in their church as lay preachers and, you know, leading Sunday school. And they were quickly given leadership positions in the church because they were among the few who could read the Bible. And as a result of that, both of them, first Pastor Pius and then 3 years later Pastor Novatan, felt called to ministry. And they went and trained and they became pastors. And so you can see Pastor Pius there sitting wearing his suit for church. He's no longer a fisherman, although he still likes the water a lot. And as pastors in their village, they were up against a big challenge because they looked at the people in their village and they realized that the majority of people did not have access to God's word. The majority of people in their churches and in their community were dependent upon a small minority of people to hear God's word and to tell them what it said. And so there's a few problems with that. One of them was that they couldn't hear or read the Bible from one Sunday to the next, but only on a Sunday morning in church. Another problem was they were very open to any kind of teaching that came along, whether it was good teaching or whether it was false teaching. And finally, another problem was that Christianity seemed to be a foreign religion. It seemed to be the religion of English people because the Bible was in English, and or French people because the Bible was in French, but it didn't seem to be the religion of Bambalang people because it came in a foreign language. And so a group from Pastor Novotan's church, a group of elders, met and decided to send a representative to our offices of our partner organisation SIL in Cameroon, who translate the Bible. And his representative showed up at our office in Bamenda and said, "We want to translate the Bible into our language." And they had enough money because they had some Christians who worked in the city who were relatives of people in that church. They had got enough money together to pay one translator part-time. And so they came to our office and said, "We want to translate the Bible into our language. We are able to pay one translator. And could you please help us to know how to do it?" And so that was the beginning of the Bible Translation Project in their language. And so the two of them became the first Bambalang translators, and another person joined them later. And they've now translated the whole New Testament, and we hope that it's still going through the final checking processes, and we hope it's going to be published next year or the following year. And they have plans to start the Old Testament after they finish publishing the New Testament. So what is involved in a Bible translation project? I want to take the opportunity to give you a quick overview. So a lot of people, when they think of Bible translation, think of translators sitting in an office. And that is definitely part of it. Okay, but before you start translation, there's actually a lot more that goes on. So firstly, we need to help the community to make plans for Bible translation. So we don't want, in the case of Pastor Novotan's church, they sent a representative and he was representing the Baptist church in Bambalang. But there was another 6 denominations that were represented in Bambalang. And so if we're going to invest resources in translating the Bible, we don't really want it to only be for one church. We want it to be for everybody. And so it's important to get the community leaders, especially the Christian leaders in the community, all together to discuss the project, how it's going to happen, which bits do they want first, and who's going to be involved so that everybody will use it at the end. Also, we need to study the language because many of the languages that don't yet have a translation of the Bible haven't even been written down. There's languages that are spoken, but they're not necessarily languages that are written. And so in order to translate the Bible, we need to study the language and analyze all the sounds and decide how to write it down. Okay? Once you've got a writing system, you can start translating. Okay? And that's the bit that happens largely in an office. But translation is not always easy, so I have this little example. Imagine translating Psalm 51, verse 7, "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow," into a language that's spoken in a tropical country. Do you think they have a word for snow? So they have to be careful to translate always the meaning and not necessarily word for word. So the meaning in this case is obviously, "I will wash me and I will be very clean." And so they looked for another metaphor that they could use, and they came up with, "Wash me and I will be whiter than the egrets." That gives people the same idea. Okay, and then once the translation is started, as soon as anything is finished, even if it's just one story, in Bambalang they started with the Christmas story, and as soon as the Christmas story was finished, they don't want it to stay in the translation office, but they want it to get out into the churches, out into the community, so that they can use it. And so in order to do that, one method is literacy, teaching people to read and write in their language so that they can use books. But increasingly around the world, people have seen the importance also of non-literate methods. Because for all these people that don't know how to read and write, we don't want to make it a requirement that they learn to read before they have access to the Bible. And so we make recordings that people can listen to. And one thing that I've been involved in a lot in Congo is teaching people to tell the Bible stories, to learn it either from a recording or from the book, to learn it, and then they can orally just tell it. And people really love that. It's a really powerful way of sharing God's words. And finally, nowadays there's all kinds of new possibilities, so the Bible can even be made available on smartphones, and that's an area that Richard's been involved in a lot. So we try and make the Bible available in lots of different ways so that different kinds of people that have different skills and abilities will have access to it in a way that's best for them. And the end goal is that people will engage with God's word and their lives will be changed. And I want to finish with the fishermen again, because once Luke's gospel was published in Bambalang language, where Pastor Pius and Pastor Novotan are working, they shared it with their friends, the fishermen. And the fishermen, a group of fishermen, while they were cleaning their nets and cleaning the fish that they'd caught when they come in from fishing, they used to listen to the radio or listen to music. And so they started listening to Luke's gospel. And some of them learned to tell the stories from Luke's gospel so they could tell other people. And these were not people that usually went to church. And when they finished listening to the whole of Luke's gospel, they showed up. They sent someone to the translation office to say, "We're finished with that. Where's the next bit?" And they hadn't yet recorded the next bit. So that encouraged them to get a move on and record the next bit. Okay, and so they, as we said at the beginning, they're people who God blessed and who are using their lives to make God's ways known, and so that the peoples will praise God. And so our prayer also is that the peoples will praise God. I'm going to hand back to Richard to conclude.
Thanks, Jen. So may God be gracious to us and bless us so that we start with a prayer for ourselves. Lord, be gracious to us. We don't stop at ourselves. We pray that the Lord would help us the way he's blessed us, that we can also be a blessing to peoples everywhere. And the focus is not on ourselves. It's the focus on God, so that all peoples will know him, that all peoples will praise him, that all peoples will be glad in him, that all peoples will fear him. And the vision that John had in Revelation of people from every nation and tribe and tongue before the throne worshipping the Lord and praising him for his salvation. So let's conclude, shall we, by reading this together. Let's read it together. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Yes, Lord, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, we long for your blessing in our lives. Lord, we bring to you this morning the challenges, the struggles, the worries we have this week. But we pray, Father, that you would direct our minds to the world. Faced with so much information about the world, we pray that you'd help us to be praying for the world, reaching to the world, supporting work to the world, that's to our neighbours near and to peoples far. Lord, we pray that we'd hear of many more stories of those in Cameroon from Pastor Pius and Pastor Novotan, given themselves to making your word known. We pray that in those thousands of languages that still wait for your word, that they too would have the joy of knowing the good news of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.